Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening. This is Dr. John talking to you live in Pearl River, Louisiana, in an undisclosed location. And I hope you're doing well in your travels this evening. And I'd like to talk to you a little while tonight about understanding God in recovery. If you'd like to contact me, feel free to do that. My email is on the episode info. It is wsm217@gmail.com. wsm217@gmail.com. We meet at 980 Robert Boulevard in Slidell, Louisiana, on Sundays at 9:30 a.m. And if you do come, we're in Slidell, right in the center of Slidell at 980 Robert Boulevard. Just drive up there and pull into that front building and come on in. We got coffee and some donuts that I understand are calorie free because they're free. So that's what I understand, but don't quote me on that. But anyhow. We are glad you're going to listen. I hope you're in Slidell Sunday morning. Come on by and see us. So we'd like to talk about step three. It says of AANA, all recovery, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Well, who is your God, and how well do you understand the God you have put your faith in? And that's what we want to talk about tonight. In Genesis 2:4, we're going to look at some other verses, but Genesis 2:4 tells us there, these are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made earth and the heavens. Well, he made everything. He explains that he created everything in Genesis 1. And the emphasis here is, though, in Genesis 2:4, that the word Lord is used for the first time. Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Now, it means it is the existent or eternal one, self-existent and eternal one. That's what Lord means. The Hebrew name for that is Jehovah or Yehovah. And Jehovah, this is the first time it's used in the Bible, is the Jewish name, the Jewish national name of God. So we have in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now we have added here a more personal. This is the God of Jews. It is the God, the Jewish national name of God. And so we're going to go into understanding who Jehovah is, who God is, and the Jewish name for God, as we find in Genesis 1:1, is in the beginning. In the Hebrew is Elohim, supreme one, the supreme being. And there's a little bit of different definitions between Jehovah, but we don't want to get into all of that. I want you and it's interesting, wherever the word occurs in the sacred writings, we translate it capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D. And that's because of the reverence and respect for God and the God of the Jews and the God of the Christians. Though our English term Lord does not give a particular meaning of the original word. This is interesting. And I've talked to missionaries that have had a problem when they're talking to, let's say, uncultured, uncivilized tribes or civilizations that don't have a written language, don't have a language, or they can communicate with each other, but they don't have a developed language. Well, the English and the Anglo-Saxons didn't have a word for Jehovah in the English. So they used the word Lord. And originally, the word Lord, L-O-R-D, means loaf keeper. In English, it means loaf keeper. And our ancient English noblemen were accustomed to keep a continual open house where all their vassals and all strangers had full liberty to enter and eat as much as they would, and hence those noblemen had the honorable name of Lord, the dispenser of bread, the loaf keeper. And so we have the, they took that word and used it for Jehovah. And I'll explain a little bit further here. Now, God, as in the English definition of God, G-O-D, is the good being. And so he's the good being, the supreme being. And then we have Lord is the national Jewish name, Jehovah, that's translated into the English, Lord. And so it's a little bit more distinction of who God is. He's Jehovah. Okay. God is a good being. The Lord is the dispenser of the bread, the giver of every good and perfect gift, who liberally affords the bread that perisheth to every man and has ample provided the bread that endures until eternal life for every human soul. So that's the definition, the English definition of God, G-O-D, capital G-O-D, and Lord, capital L-O-R-D. Now, let's get into the definition that God, how he implies the essence of his divine nature. I'm going to read a little bit here. Here, therefore, God fulfills that promise by proclaiming this name. It has long been a question of what the meaning of the word Jehovah, or Jehovah, or Yahoo, or Yehovah, Yiv, is spelled a lot of different ways. And I don't mean to be disrespectful to it, but there's a lot of different spellings of the word of Jehovah. For it has been as variously pronounced as it has been differently interpreted. Some have maintained that it is utterly inexplicable. These, of course, have offered no mode of interpretation. Others say that it implies the essence of divine nature, of the divine nature. So this is the essence of the divine nature, Lord. How strange is it that none of these learned men have discovered that God himself interprets this name in Exodus chapter 34, 6 and 7. So God interprets his name for himself, which makes sense because God, the self-existent one, the supreme being, who else could better describe himself than himself? And he says this in Exodus 34, 6, and 7. Now, if you got a Bible, go ahead and go there, or you can listen, because I'm going to read it right now. And the Lord passed by before him, before Moses. And of course, it's capitals L-O-R-D. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious. Okay? So the Lord God is merciful and he's gracious. He's long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, And that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children unto the third and fourth generation. So we're going to go into this and let God himself explain himself to us as best as we can understand it. Okay. And this is an excellent description of God. Okay? And he says he's merciful, he's gracious, he's long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin. Okay, and further. So let's go into this a little bit. And the Lord passed, now this is another interpretation or interpretation of this, of Exodus 34, 6 and 7. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, Jehovah, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering, and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgressions and sin, that will by no means clear the guilty. These words contain the proper interpretation of the venerable and glorious name Jehovah, but it will be necessary to consider them in detail. The different names in this and the following verse have been considered as so many attributes of the divine nature. Commentators divide them into 11. Okay, so one, we got Jehovah. Two, we have Elohim. Lord, L-O-R-D, all caps, is Jewish, in the Jewish language, is Jehovah. El is God, and the Jewish name for God is El, Elohim. Okay, the strong or mighty God. Okay, then they have the Jewish names for these different descriptions of God. And I'm going to try to pronounce them, but please have mercy on me. Okay, Rakim, the merciful being who is full of tenderness, feelings of deep affections, and compassion, sympathetic pity for sufferings and misfortunes of others. That's one description of God, of himself, being who is full of tenderness, feelings of deep affections, and compassion, sympathetic pity for sufferings and misfortunes of others. Another word is Shannon. That means the gracious one. He whose nature is goodness and moral excellence itself. He's goodness himself, the loving God. Fifth is Erech, a Papian. He's long-suffering, the being who, capital B, who, because of his goodness and tenderness, is not easily irritated, but suffers long and is kind. Now we're talking about God. I want you to understand who God is, that this is the God of your recovery, of my recovery. This is the one that's tender. He's long-suffering. He's not easily irritated. He's the great and mighty one. He's the bountiful being. He who is exuberant, he's filled with or characterized by lively energy or excitement. He's excited that you and I are recovering. He's excited about us wanting to know him better. In his benevolence, he is generous and favorable. Also, he is the true one. What did Jesus say? I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the true one. He alone who can neither deceive nor be deceived. Let this sink in. He alone can neither deceive nor be deceived, who is the fountain of truth, and from whom all wisdom and knowledge must be derived. So where are you going to get wisdom and knowledge from? From God. Can you? Yes. Yes, you can. If you haven't trusted in Jesus as your Savior to forgive you for all your sins and to be the sacrifice for your sins, to be acceptable to God the Father, then you can do it right now. Just say, God, I give up. I believe that you died on the cross for me, that you created me and you died on the cross for me, and you resurrected 3 days later to prove your power over my sin, and you paid for my sin. I surrender to you as my Savior. And now I want you to be my Lord. And he'll never forsake you. He'll never leave. All wisdom and knowledge comes from him. He's the preserver of bountifulness. He whose benevolence never ends, never. He said he'll never leave you nor forsake you. He never ends, keeping mercy for thousands of generations, showing compassion and mercy while the world endures. As long as the world is here, he's going to show compassion and mercy. And I am a number one recipient of that compassion and mercy. I know about that firsthand. And as long, and I know it's going to last for as long as the world endures. He is the one who bears away iniquity. If you just trusted in him, he's taken your iniquity. Iniquity is original sin. It's what you and I are born with. We're born with the ability, the desire to sin. We have a sinful nature, and that's what iniquity is. He who bears away iniquity and transgressions and sin. All of it's been taken away. And he's the pardoner. He's the forgiver. The being whose prerogative is his prerogative. It's his right, his privilege, exclusively, alone it is, to forgive sin and save the soul. That's who your God is. That's who my God is. Jesus Christ. He's the righteous judge who distributes justice with an impartial hand, with whom no innocent person can ever be condemned. With whom no innocent person can never be condemned. He is the one who distributes justice with an impartial hand. An innocent person can be condemned. He who visits iniquity, he who punishes transgressors, from whose justice no sinner can escape. No sinner can escape. Sinner, you might think you're getting away with something today, but you will not escape the judgment of the just one. You will not. So the time is now to believe. To put your faith and just surrender to God, confess that you're a sinner, and let him take that sin away. Let him forgive you for it and save you. The God of retribution and vindication. Vindictive justice. He has a strong desire for justice. Just because he's long-suffering, he's compassionate, merciful, and he will forgive you and take your sin away. But if you do not, he will vindicate. He will get retribution. He will. These 11 attributes, as they have been termed, are all included in the name Jehovah and are, as we have before seen, the proper interpretation of it. But the meaning of several of these words has been variously understood. So that's who your God is. That's who my God is. I want you to understand him. If you'd like a copy of this, what I just said and shared with you, email me. I'll freely send you an email copy or whatever, or whatever. And if we can help you any other way, please feel free to contact me. And if you're at Slidell, and if you want to stop by on a Sunday morning, 9:30 a.m., stop in, say, hey, where's Brother John? Where's Dr. John? Where's the coffee? And just come on and sit in, and you're quite welcome to do so every Sunday morning, any Sunday morning. Don't care what condition you're in. And I'm serious. I don't care what condition you're in. I'll just tell you a little bit about myself. We have a few minutes. I had a fellow, well, it's a friend now, but I worked for him when I was in the Navy in Norfolk. And he, you know, had an open policy that if you'd like to go to church, just come on, show up. And I mentioned I was interested, and so he called me that night before services, and he says, John, you going to come Sunday morning? I said, yeah, I'll be there, but I'll be drunk. And he said, that's okay, come. And I did come, and I was drunk. I was. But I went forward and talked to a fellow about my salvation. But it wasn't until the next Saturday night that him, my friend, and the pastor came by and talked to us about the Lord and being saved. And it's the first time my wife ever heard it. And so I asked him, I said, I knew I was overdue. You know, I knew I was a sinner, and that talk about vindication and getting my just due, I knew I was ripe for it. And I asked the preacher, I said, can I get saved right now? And he says, yeah. And he looked at my wife and said, would you like to be saved too? And so we, in our living room, I remember an oval rug, we both knelt down and asked Jesus to forgive us for our sins and to take over our lives, and we thank him for saving us and forgiving us for our sins. And our life was never the same. So a little bit about me. Boy, howdy. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9. Now, this is to Christians, and if you've been saved, you just got saved or whatever, let us know. I appreciate email me and let me know, hey, Brother John, when you were talking, I believed in Christ. I believed in what you were saying, and I'm starting to understand that great and wonderful God, Jehovah. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says this. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now I'm going to read that again. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, that's not going to some other man, some other human, some other created man of God, but this is going to God himself in your closet, personally with him, in your mind, and confessing your sins. We got them. You look You look at the New Testament and you look at Jesus. Jesus said if you got angry against your brother undeservedly, that's like murder in the eyes of God. So you confess it. You confess that I confess my anger toward my brother or my sister, that person, without no reason. You know, we do that a lot in this road race these days. And so if we confess our sins, this is what he says, personal, private, he, Jesus, is faithful. Now, we just went over the description of God and how faithful he is, and he will be faithful till there is no other world. He is faithful and just. He's just. He's the one that has the power because he's just. He's the wise one. He's the all-knowing one. He cannot be deceived, or he cannot deceive nor be deceived. He's the just one. He is just to forgive us our sins. And to not just forgive them, but to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, what do we have to do? We got to confess it. Admit to God, yeah, I agree with you. That's sin, God. Then he takes over. He forgives you. He casts that sin as far as east is from west. He remembers it no more. He forgives us our sin. Then he cleanses us of all unrighteousness, from all unrighteousness. What that cleansing does, gives a clean and the strength not to commit that sin again, or for it not to have that power over us. You want to get free from addiction? Start confessing. And if you stumble and fall, confess it again. If you stumble and fall, confess it again. Can't out sin God's forgiveness. You can't, because he's just, and the justifier then that come to him. So, let us see. We're about out of time, and I just want to thank you for listening. And if I can be of further assistance to you, I hope you understand the God of your recovery a little bit better. And again, if you want a copy of this message, feel free to send an email, and I'll email you a copy of this. It's been a pleasure talking to you and communicating with you. So, hope to see you Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. at 980 Robert Boulevard, Slidell, Louisiana. God bless you, and good night.